evening, councillors. Good evening, staff, and good evening to our community in the gallery. Thank you for coming along tonight. This to council meeting number 15 on the 10th of July, the time being 5:30. I'd like to remind all persons in attendance that this council policy to record council meetings. The audio recording of this meeting will be made available to the public on council's website for a period of 12 months. In accordance with council policy, I will ask the general manager to confirm that the audio recording has commenced.
Confirmed.
And that's confirmed. At this point in time, I'd like to acknowledge and pay respect to the Tasmanian Aboriginal community as the traditional and original owners and the continuing custodians in this land on which we gather today, and acknowledge elders past and present. In attendance tonight is myself, Councillor Loss, Deputy Mayor Councillor Reet, Councillor Atkinson, Councillor Berry, Councillor Fox, Councillor Chatterton, Councillor Percy, Councillor Bastone, Councillor Winter. From staff we have our General Manager, Mr Arnold, our Executive Manager, Organisational Development, Ms Hughes, our Executive Manager, Engineering Services, Mr Reeve, our Manager, Community Services, Ms Jenny, our Manager, Development Services, Ms Tyler Moore, our Senior Planning Officer, Mrs Stevenson, our Media and Communications Officer, Ms Wilcox, our Executive Assistant, Mrs Morton. Apologies. And we also have our Manager, Governance and Property, Mr Smee. Sorry, Mr Smee, you must have snuck in there. Apologies tonight, we have one, and that's Councillor Grace. Page 2, second item, confirmation of minutes of council meeting number 14 held on the 26th of June 2017. I have a mover in Councillor Fox and a seconder in Councillor Bastone that the minutes of council meeting number 14 held on the 26th of June 2017 be confirmed. Councillors, those in favour, please say aye.
Aye.
Those against, that is carried unanimously. We'll move over to page 3, questions from the public. Declarations of interest, yes, on page 2. Councillors, I'll ask if there's any declarations of interest that any councillor wishes to make. There are none, thank you. We'll now move over to page 3. Questions on notice from the public. A question on page 3 from Mr. Mervyn Reed, proposed new Kingborough Health Centre, and a response from Mr. Arnold. Also from Mr. Reed, transport of waste to Copping, and a response from Mr. Reeve, our Executive Manager, Engineering Services. Are there any questions without notice from the public?
Yes,
thank you, Mr. Reeve. Yes, thank you.
Given the General Manager's detailed response to my question on notice in respect of the payment of $1.35 million still owed by the Council to the State Government for the purchase of the former Kingston High School site, we definitively noted that the payment of such monies would not affect the underlying deficit of the council. My question to you has two parts. Firstly, the capital expenditure is apparently, according to the documents contained in the minutes presented for approval to the council with the budget in 2017-18, to make with borrowed funds. If this is the case, then the cost of the borrowing will affect the budget as the cost of the interest expense on the proportion of the loan, and thus increase the deficit. Is this the case? Alternatively, the payment might be being made from cash already held as part of the council's diminishing reserves. And if so, then not only will the reserves be diminished once again, but the interest received on those funds will not be apparent, and thus the deficit will be increased by that amount. Is this the case? I look forward to your response at the next meeting in writing. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Reed. I'll hand to our General Manager, Mr. Arnold. Mr. Arnold.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. And thank you for the question, Mr. Reed. We will provide a written response for you at the next meeting.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. Any further questions? There are none. Thank you. Questions on notice from councillors. From Councillor Winter, development application reports on page 4 and a response from Mrs. Tyler Moore. Questions without notice from councillors, are there any? Councillor Bastone?
How many times have Kingborough councillors acting as the planning authority made a decision contrary to legal advice?
How far back in time do you want to go, councillor?
Just with this.
Within the last 12
months? Within the last, this council.
Oh, this council, this sorry. Council. Yes, this elected council.
Mm. And there is another part to it. Was the cost of the legal advice covered by the retainer paid by the council, or was it in excess of that?
Mr. Arnold?
Yep, through you, Mr. Mayor. Councillor Bastone will take both those questions on notice and provide written responses to make sure that it's accurate. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Bastone. Councillor Berry?
Thank you, Mayor. I have a question concerning the roadworks on the neck. I think we've all received a copy of an email from the President of the Bryn Island Community Association and suggesting that the order of works has been in some way altered. Are staff in any way able to inform us of the situation?
Mr. Arnold?
Through you, Mr. Mayor. Councillor Berry, we were alerted to this matter earlier today, and officers were not aware that there had been a proposed change in the works, but we're pursuing the matter with officers from the Department of State Growth who, as you know, are working with Parks and Wildlife in that matter. So when we get an answer, we'll provide that and take the rest of the question on notice so that that response can be in the public arena at the next meeting.
I've also got a question, and my question is that following the community's knowledge of the jet ski operation commencing at Conyngham, State Franklin members took a keen interest and discussed the above with staff and or elected members. Many chose to write to the Mayor for clarification and responses in all cases were provided. I understand that some time ago Council received a Right to Information RTI request. Can Council be advised as to who initiated this request, the hours taken by staff to respond and the cost incurred by Council, including staff costs, to provide this information? Mr. General Manager?
Through you, Mr. Mayor. I'm personally aware of one RTI request that relates to that matter, but there may have been others, and I certainly don't have details about the cost of preparing a response to that or, in fact, others, so I'll have to take that on notice.
Thank you. Councillors, will move on to motions of which notice has been given. At the time the agenda was compiled, no notices of motion were received. Petition still being actioned in the report. Response to the petition, headed Petition to Save Tassie Bird and Poultry Supplies Trading as Riverbend Farm Tasmania, can be found on page 162 of our agenda tonight. And petitions received in the last period, at the time the agenda was compiled, no petitions had been received. At this stage, the open session of Council will adjourn and the Planning Authority session will commence at 5:38. I remind all Councillors we are now acting as a Planning Authority. The first item is an officer's report to Planning Authority, and there is a recommendation on page 9. Thank you, Councillor Chadden. Thank you, Councillor Fox. Are there any questions, Councillors, to the report? There being none, I'll put the recommendation as moved by Councillor Chadden and seconded by Councillor Fox that the report be noted. Councillors in favour, please say aye. Those against? That is carried unanimously. On page 10, a development application for four units, one existing at 131 Redwood Road, Kingston, for DAU. And on there is a recommendation on page 21. Thank you, Councillor Fox. And thank you, Councillor Percy. Councillor Fox, do you wish to speak?
I need to say that the proposal for four units, one existing in this location, is consistent with the residential character of the area and proximity to Kingston. It's been sited and designed to meet the majority of acceptable solutions of the scheme, and of the three discretions invoked, as an assessment is made against the relevant performance criteria, and in each instance sufficient justification is considered to be provided. And the scale of the development is also consistent with the surrounding land use patterns. It's been assessed and meets all the criteria, so I think it should be approved. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Fox. Any further discussion, councillors? I will put the recommendation as moved by Councillor Fox, seconded by Councillor Percy, that in accordance with Council Policy 1.1, Delegated Authority Policy, the Planning Authority resolves that the report of the Manager Development Services be received and that the development application for four units, one existing at 131 Redwood Road, Kingston, for Mr D.A.U., be approved subject to the following conditions, and as you will see from your agenda, there are 14 conditions. Councillors, those in favour, if you would please say aye. Those against, that is carried unanimously. The next item is on page 41, development application for dwelling and garage at 112A Flinders Esplanade. Certificate of Title 198846 Folio 1 and access over Certificate of Title 199086 Folio 1. Certificate of Title 198925 Folio 1 and Certificate of Title 198845 Folio 1 Taruna for Mr. I. Cooper. And there is a recommendation on page 57. Thank you, Councillor Percy. Thank you, Councillor Fox. Councillor Percy, do you wish to speak?
No, the proposal of single-storey dwelling comprising three bedrooms. There was three representations. I think they've been covered by the planner. The relevant local area objective encourages low-density development. That's what this is. And the objective and character of statements are met. Also, there is over here, although it doesn't meet the acceptable solution under the setbacks and buildings envelope, it does meet the P1 performance criteria. The proposed dwelling is a single-storey design. It is not imposing within the streetscape. The proposal is not considered to have an adverse impact on the streetscape on the laneway, as there is no distinct pattern of development. And the proposed single car garage, which was also a concern there, is located at the front of the dwelling, is to be set back 1 metre from the front boundary. Although it doesn't meet the proposed 5.5 metre setback, it does. The proposed single car garage is orientated at an angle and to the front boundary, therefore the visual impact of the garage will be minimal. So although there are some concerns, they do meet the performance criteria. So that's why I recommend that this application be approved.
Thank you, Councillor Percy. Councillor Reid.
Look, I just wanted to add, because I noticed that a number of the representations had raised some concerns, and quite a few of them weren't issues that were able to be considered by us as a planning authority, and I think that it's important that those points be acknowledged, that there have been some concerns from representatives in relation to traffic during construction, damage to potential damage to the oak tree, damage to adjacent buildings and dust generated by works during the construction. But as it says on page 56 of the report, those issues are not ones that we can consider as a planning authority. And, for example, the dust generated, that would have to be referred to the EPA, and other matters there we're not able to consider as a planning authority when we set that out. So I think it's important that those issues are noted.
Thank you, Councillor Reid. No further discussion, councillors? I will then put the recommendation moved by Councillor Percy, seconded by Councillor Fox, that in accordance with Council Policy 1.1, Delegated Authority Policy, the Planning Authority resolves that the report of the Manager Development Services be received and that the development application for dwelling and garage at 112A Flinders Esplanade, that's Certificate of Title 198846 Folio 1, and access over Certificate of Title 199086 Folio 1, Certificate of Title 198925 Folio 1, and Certificate of Title 198845 Folio 1 for Taruna for Mr. Eyekeeper be approved subject to the following conditions, and as you can see, there are 10 conditions. Councillors, I'll ask you to vote. Those in favour, please say aye. Those against, it's carried unanimously. The next item is on page 74, and that is a development application for subdivision of 8 lots at 86 Burwood Drive, Blackmans Bay, for All Urban Planning Proprietor Limited, and there is a recommendation on page 88. Thank you, Councillor Chatterton. Do I have a seconder? Thank you, Councillor Berry. Councillor Chatterton?
Thank you, Mayor. Look, this is an extension off Sandstone Drive in Blackmans Bay. There's been a part of the land was subdivided recently, and this is just another few blocks to be finished to complete the subdivision. It's met all the criteria. Everything has been answered there by the staff that has been requested for. I can see no reason why we shouldn't approve with all the conditions attached there too.
Thank you, Councillor Chadden. Any further debate, councillors? If not, I'll put the recommendation moved by Councillor Chadden, seconded by Councillor Berry, that in accordance with Council Policy 1.1, Delegated Authority Policy, the Planning Authority resolves that the report of the Manager Development Services be received, and that the development application for subdivision of 8 lots at 86 Burwood Drive, Blackmans Bay, for All Urban Planning Proprietor Limited be approved subject to the following conditions. As you can see, there are 24 conditions. I'll ask councillors to vote. Those in favour, please say aye. Those against, it is carried unanimously. The next item is on page 101, and that's a development application for boundary adjustment between two titles and subdivision of 3 lots at 65 Roslyn Avenue and adjoining council land, certificate of title 249081, folio 1, Kingston Beach, for Rogerson and Birch Surveyors. And may I suggest to councillors that we start off this one with a motion to discuss, because I understand there is some information coming to you.
Yep.
So Councillor Fox is so moved. And Councillor Chadden, was it?
Yes.
It's on page 120. So to discuss, Councillor Fox and Councillor Chadden, I'll put that. Councillors in favour to discuss, please say aye.
Aye.
That against? That is carried unanimously. And can I ask, is it Mrs. Stevenson, you've got some information? Do you want to hand something out now, or do you want Councillor Fox to speak and then you'll address it?
Through you, Mr. Mayor. The only thing that I had to raise was a suggested amended condition, so the recommendation condition number 12 relates to the provision of underground power. The existing power supply in that area is overhead, and the applicant had requested consideration of an amendment to that condition to allow overhead power if that was in accordance with TasNetworks requirements. That was discussed with Council's engineers. There's nothing in the planning scheme that requires underground power, so we're suggesting an amendment to the condition to require the power supply to be provided in accordance with TasNetworks requirements and for a copy of their requirements to be submitted to Council.
Thank you, Mrs. Stevenson. Any further discussion, councillors? Councillor Percy?
Yeah. I move the motion Councillor to discuss. Fox. I'd really appreciate the opportunity to discuss this. I'm quite concerned about this development. I've had discussions with staff, and I have asked them to prepare an alternative motion. It concerns me that if we look at page 130, the illustration there demonstrates that there are rectangles which have been placed on this property to indicate the potential lots or the potential house alignment, both the solar orientation and also the side and rear and front setbacks. And it's been brought to my attention that the current format suggested was changed from the original in order to achieve the solar setbacks, because the houses need to face north, basically. And in layman's terms, I guess what concerns me is that by doing so, they aren't able to achieve the side setbacks. And if they were to achieve the side setbacks, then they can't achieve the solar orientation. So this is a primary reason why I feel that this is an overdevelopment of the site, because they cannot achieve, even on the existing dwelling, they cannot achieve the site, the setbacks, with the way the carve-up of this block has been presented to us. So I'm quite concerned that we would be approving a block that is an overdevelopment of this site. There are other concerns about access, about traffic concerns, but the major concern to me is this, the not being able to achieve the rear or side setbacks, and also at the same time as having the solar orientation right. So they can achieve one without the other, or the other without the one, but not both together, and therefore I think we should be considering refusing it on those grounds.
Thank you, Councillor Fox. Councillor Percy?
In there it mentions parking, but I just had a bit of problem trying to work out how much parking is actually provided there. I saw on, I think it's block one, there was two, but is there any other parking? Somebody clarify that. In the report, just kept on saying refer the engineer's report, but when I referred the engineer's report, just sort of focused on other areas. So could that just be clarified for me, please, how many parking spaces are provided?
Thank you. I'll ask Mr. Stevenson to respond. Mr. Stevenson?
Through you, Mr. Mayor. In relation to a subdivision, there's no requirement to provide parking at the subdivision stage, other than in regards to the existing dwelling. A single dwelling requires two parking spaces under the planning scheme. So what this proposal involves is the creation of a new access to Rosalind Avenue to service the existing dwelling. At the moment, the access to the existing dwelling is off Auburn Road, and there's a carport structure up the top on the Auburn Road frontage which provides the parking for the house, and then there's steps that they walk down to get to the house. Once the subdivision goes through, obviously that carport and that access will no longer service lot one, so, and the existing dwelling. So they're proposing to construct a new access and two parking spaces off Rosalind Avenue to service the house. The two new vacant lots are not required to be provided with parking spaces per se at this stage. That will be subsequent to a development application for future development on that site. However, a new access will be constructed to the current standards at the same point as the existing access off Auburn Road, and that will service both lots 2 and 3.
Right. And Rosalind Avenue, that, you say that's having an access?
Mrs. Stevens?
Through you, Mr. Mayor. Yes, that's correct. There'll be a new access constructed to Rosalind Avenue to service the existing dwelling on lot 1.
Right. Because on Rosalind Avenue there's always a problem with water coming down driveways. Is that, that'll be included in the requirements?
Mr. Stevenson?
Through you, Mr. Mayor. Yes, the drainage from the new access and parking area will all be required to be channelled into the existing reticulated stormwater system. They'll be subject to engineering design and approval.
Through you, Mr. Mayor, could I just get a clarification? It says in the conditions in number 2 is demolition is required as part of the development, yet all the way through the report it says there won't be any demolition. Could you just clarify what demolition will be required?
Thank you. Mr. Stevenson?
Through you, Mr. Mayor. The demolition refers to the carport that I mentioned earlier that's currently near the, up the top near the Auburn Road access. So there won't be any demolition of the existing dwelling, but just that carport up the top.
All right. Also, just a part of the report, and it's come from traffic engineer, so I have to take it as correct, but I live probably about 10 houses away from this development, so I know Rosalind Avenue pretty well. It says that people don't usually go more than 50 kilometres an hour up there. That's it's hard to believe, but anyway, that's in the report. And also access, I think it said something, access down towards Blackmans Bay wouldn't be required very often, but it is practically impossible from Rosalind Avenue to go towards Blackmans Bay out of one of those places, especially if the council has their site guideposts in place and haven't been taken down by all the residents. So just a few things I need to clarify there. It says there also that there is about the size of the block, it's only marginally greater than what it's allowed to be. I think it was 712, and I think the 600 is the nominated amount. I think this comes back to questions I've asked before. What is only marginal when it's, I mean, that's only 20% difference. I'm just wondering how you work out what's acceptable and what's not as far as a variance. Thank you.
Mr. Stevenson.
Through you, Mr. Mayor. There's no criteria as such in the planning scheme as to, it comes down to the performance criteria and what that requires. In this instance, because of the constraints on the site, including the slope, and that it's not unreasonable to have a slightly larger lot size than what the maximum would ordinarily require. Obviously, on a more flat block, it's much easier to meet those maximums. In this particular case, what they're trying to achieve is a maximum or a minimum sort of density, but because of the constraints of that site with the slope and the existing development, it's not possible to achieve those densities, nor is it probably desirable in that location.
Thank you, Mr. Stevenson. That's all your questions, Councillor Percy. Thank you, Councillor Chatterton.
Oh, thank you, Mayor. I've got concerns with the entrance into Auburn Road. At the moment, it's through those, and Stevenson is absolutely correct, there are some carports there in Auburn Road, but it's right at the end where those vehicles come out that starts the MCAL rail that goes down on the left-hand side of Auburn Road. And at the moment, obviously, there's only cars coming from one house, but if we allow this subdivision, there'll be two houses with both of them coming onto Auburn Road. Now, Auburn Road, once again, is a street that we go ha-ha-ha when cars are supposed to do 50k as well. And it's very narrow, Auburn Road. And I know that from residents that I've been talking to in the area, they're very concerned about the sort of the blind corners and so on. And this particular spot, if you're going to have two more blocks allowed, it's going to be at least probably 8 car movements a day, one would assume, in and out, and it's, which is, in other words, twice the amount of traffic that was there from one that was there, because one house is coming in and out Auburn Road. But this will allow twice as much traffic on that very bad bend and very narrow way in, and it's not much room to swing in and out. So I'm very concerned that we're going to allow two lots and therefore double the amount of traffic going out through there, and I would have preferred this to have one lot, one coming off Roslyn Avenue and one coming up off Auburn Road. Obviously, it's impossible to get another access for lot two off Roslyn Avenue, but once again, there'd be no visibility, even if you could get an access off Roslyn Avenue. So we've got two very bad roads, in Auburn Road and Roslyn Avenue, and we're allowing this development. I have very grave concerns.
Thank you, Councillor Chadden. Councillor Berry.
Thank you, Mayor. I think that Councillor Chatterton summed up some of my concerns about this site. If you have a look at the site, I'm just amazed that someone would even try to subdivide it. I did have a relative once look at this site and quite a while ago and decided, no, it's too difficult. It really is a difficult site, not only to subdivide two extra lots, but also actually working on the site. You can probably see from the contours there's actually one fairly, fairly steep part of the site. I think it's extremely difficult, and I agree entirely, having been a regular traveller down Auburn Road, that I think that cars and the sort of issues that Councillor Chatterton has been raising, I would not support this development as it stands. I think that one extra site only would be the sort of thing I would be supporting. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Berry. Councillor Atkinson.
Thank you, Mayor. Councillor Chatterton and Councillor Berry have summed up some issues I had about the access. I think most of us received, all of us received an email late today or late yesterday or today,
late
this morning, from the neighbours of this site, and I just wonder whether the general manager or general manager would ask someone to just clarify the communication, because there was some issues raised about the communication with the neighbour about the subdivision and the purchase of the land and so on, and just want that opportunity for that to be aired.
Mr. Arnold.
Through you, Mr. Mayor. Councillor Atkinson is correct. It was brought to my attention this morning After following it up, I think there were two matters that Councillor Atkinson is referring to. The first related back to a prior report that went to Council regarding a laneway that adjoins this property, which is now the subject of a conditional contract of sale. My understanding from speaking with Daniel Smee is that it's conditional on this development approval. And there was some suggestion that perhaps the notification to adjoining owners in that matter hadn't been handled as well as it could have, but we are satisfied that both adjoining property owners were given the opportunity prior to a report coming to council to state some interest in what has been an unused laneway for decades. The more important matter that relates to the development application was notification. I'm advised by the planners that the adjoining property owners were notified on the 1st of June and that the particular adjoining property owner that had raised the matter with councillors had in fact through a third party put in a rather lengthy submission to this DA.
Thank you. And I think part of the issues in that email and in that submission were to do with the heritage values of the adjoining property as well as the property on the site that's been subdivided. I think if this were to go through, it's very important that the conditions were placed there, that there'd be a report on any potential structural damage to 67 Roslyn Avenue, because from reading that letter and from conversation with the neighbour involved, there's been issues with water damage and so on between those sites. Look, I also have reservations about this. I'm interested to hear what my colleagues say.
Thank you, Councillor Atkinson. Councillor Reid.
Thank you. I just wanted to take up where Councillor Atkinson has left off in relation to the letter that we received from the neighbour at number 67 Roslyn Avenue. I think quite a bit of the concerns in the first part of point one of her letter related to the communication around the potential sale of that land. And certainly from what is written here and the circumstances that she was in at the time, it sounds like it was a hasty decision that she was not in a position to be able to make at that time. So I'm hoping you can give us some comfort around what the usual process is and if you feel that that process was followed in this case.
Mr. Arnold.
Through you, Mr. Mayor. Thank you, Councillor Reid. Yes, at that time the conversation was held with Daniel Smee, who was preparing the report, and he indicated during the conversation that whilst the cut-off for that report was the next day, that there was in fact time for consideration. He asked how much time was needed. He was given a response that 2 weeks was needed, so he gave an undertaking that he would not report the matter to council for that period, which occurred.
Okay, I'm just trying to understand, is it usual just for this to be done by phone calls or a letter, or what are the procedures that we have set out in relation to this?
Mr. Arnold.
Through you, Mr. Mayor. Councillor Reid, in terms of actual procedures, I'm not sure that we have any that are set out in writing, except to say that in the report to council, which I have since read again today, the only two parties that that were contacted were the two parties that adjoined the property. Both were given the opportunity to indicate to council whether they were interested in purchasing part or all of that unused walkway as designated, and one party indicated they were and the other party indicated they weren't, and that was reported to council.
Okay, I guess I'm reading the circumstances here, and it's not dissimilar to one I've been in myself many years ago, and it's not a very great place to be in, and So to, all of a sudden to get somebody to ring up to say, do you want, you know, council's considering selling this land, do you want to buy it, you've got 2 weeks to make a decision, is difficult to be able to make in those circumstances. And I think sometimes we need to be a little bit more flexible in our approach given individual circumstances if we're able to, because obviously this has now got some flow on angst. I did want to also ask about the issues of the potential water damage that's been occurring, as I understand, from the neighbouring property at 65 Roslyn Avenue, and there's concerns that have been raised potentially if more dwellings are built that that could have an impact. I was wondering if we could have a response to that.
Mr. Arnold? Mr. Stevenson?
Through you, Mr. Mayor. Council's engineers, development engineers, have assessed the subdivision application and satisfied that the stormwater can be dealt with, and there are conditions in there in the permit or the recommendation to cover those issues. So each lot would be required to be connected to the reticulated stormwater, and obviously any subsequent development on those lots would need to deal with its stormwater. So there's no issues being raised as concerns from Council's development engineers.
Thank you, Mrs. Stevenson. All your questions. Thank you. Councillor Bastone.
Following on from Councillor Chatterton's pointing out the dangers of two cars coming onto Auburn Road, when you actually read clause A3, the balance lot, which is balance number 3, is slated for multi-development, okay, for multi-dwellings. And that means there will be more than two cars coming on. We could have quite a lot of traffic now coming onto Auburn Road through that development. It's on page 108, the last paragraph.
Thank you, Councillor Bester.
Another question.
Question?
Yeah. I just had a question about the drawing on page 130, the red rectangles. Just to clarify, that the rectangle on lot 1, is that just to show that the lot's big enough to be allowed to be subdivided to that size, is it?
Mr. Stevenson.
Through you, Mr. Mayor. There's a requirement in the planning scheme is that each lot contains a building area of certain dimensions that meet certain criteria. So regardless of whether there's an existing dwelling or existing development on the site, technically the lot needs to demonstrate that it can include a building area of the required dimensions. So the three rectangles that you see on the three lots are the building areas that show. Now, they don't comply with all of the standards under the acceptable solutions, and as discussed in the report, the whole of the site is subject to codes under the planning scheme, so it automatically has to be assessed under the performance criteria. There is also the issue of the setbacks, which isn't quite as clear in the report, but certainly they do encroach within the rear setback for those lots. With regards to lot 1, the building area is shown there, but obviously the site is developed and the boundaries are located in accordance with the requirements for the setbacks for the existing dwelling.
Right, I see. So because there's an existing dwelling there, there's no proposal, well, it's unlikely that there's going to be any demolition they're seeing happen to that house. But that rectangle actually cuts over the area of the proposed driveway anyway, doesn't it? So if there was ever another dwelling there, it couldn't fit within that rectangle. Is that my right?
Mrs. Stevenson?
Mr. Mayor.
The driveway 132 is the page, I forget.
Yeah, on page 132 shows the access and that. So it's important to note that a building area is not necessarily the size and shape of a future development on that site. So a building area is not a building envelope in terms of saying you have to be contained within these boundaries. It's an area and the dimensions are set in the planning scheme. So the essence of it is that if you have a site that has appropriate dimensions and shape and area to contain a rectangle of that size, exclusive of the setbacks and the other criteria, then you have a site that you should be able to develop on each lot. It doesn't mean that people can't build outside that building area, and obviously any application for that would be subject to whatever the relevant standards were in place at the time, and may, you know, may request discretions in regards to setbacks or other things. It also doesn't mean that you can't fit a fully compliant development within the boundaries of that lot that might be outside of that building area but still fully compliant with the acceptable solutions. In the case of Lot 1, yes, the building area doesn't comply because it encroaches within the front setback and the rear setback. The assessment under the performance criteria that we're required to consider is whether or not the site is suitable for the development of dwelling and associated access and outbuildings. In this case, clearly there's an existing dwelling there. It's compliant as far as the setbacks. They've proposed an access and car parking which can fit on there. So the assessment is that the lot size and dimensions is acceptable to be able to cater for residential development on that site.
Thank you. I can see why the public find planning confusing. Okay. But thank you. No, thank you. That was my question.
Councillors, we're in the discussion stage. Councillor Fox.
I'd be prepared to move a motion of refusal. And I've discussed this at length with Ms Stevenson. The fact that we're not traffic engineers.
Going to refuse it and you're going to give us some reasons?
I'll read what I've got here.
Please.
That in accordance with Council Policy 1.1, Delegated Authority Policy, the Planning Authority resolves that the report of the Manager Development Services be received and that development application for a boundary adjustment between two titles and subdivision of three lots at 65 Rosson Avenue and adjoining council land, CT249081/1, Kingston Beach, for Rogerson and Birch surveyors be refused for the following reasons. 1. The design of the proposed lot 2 and 3 does not provide for the lots to contain a building area that can be reasonably capable of accommodating residential use and development and enables future development to achieve maximum solar access as required by clause 10.6.1 P2 of the Kingborough Interim Planning Scheme 2015, in that the lots are not of sufficient size and dimensions to contain a building area of the required dimensions and orientation clear of the minimum setback requirements.
Thank you, Councillor Fox. Do I have a seconder? Councillor Atkinson. Councillor Fox, you may now continue.
I hear the concerns expressed by other councillors, but I've been advised that they may not be reasons for us to be able to refuse, but the clause that I've just read out could stand up possibly as a legitimate reason that this particular application before us does not comply with our planning scheme. Thank you.
Councillor Fox. Councillor Weeder, yes, you're right.
Could I just ask generally whether planning staff can furnish us with their perspective on this motion, and Councillor Fox has alluded to its defensibility, what their perspective is on this and whether this is a legitimate reason for refusal in this motion.
Mr Stevenson.
Through you, Mr Mayor. The relevant discretion in the planning scheme, or the relevant standard in the planning scheme, is clause 10.6.1. There's been a lot of discussion this evening about the building area, and that is essentially the main part of this application that isn't compliant with the acceptable solutions. There are two clauses, or two parts of the performance criteria, which could be relevant to, or which are relevant to, the assessment of the application and could be the basis for the refusal. Those two are the mentioned in that rather wordy, reason for refusal. But the first is that the building area has to be reasonably capable of accommodating residential use and development. And the second of those is the that it has to enable future development to achieve maximum solar access. As I think it was Councillor Fox referred to earlier in the discussion, the building areas could be orientated in a different way on those lots to achieve the clearance clear of the setbacks, but in doing so they wouldn't achieve the solar access criteria, which is within, I think it's 20 degrees west of north and 30 degrees east of north. So the long axis, so the 15 metre dimension of the building area, is supposed to be in accordance with that. So it's one or the other in terms of the way those lots have been designed. It's difficult to achieve both within the size of the lot. The issue of traffic there is a discretion triggered there, but there is a TIA from a development from a traffic engineer, and our development engineers have assessed that as well and have recommended the application is suitable for approval. So it's my view that this clause would be the only clause that you could refuse the application, and there are provisions within the performance criteria, being those two sub-clauses, that could be used. Obviously, my recommendation was approval, but if you did want to refuse it, then these would be the only provisions I see that you could do so.
Thank you, Mr. Stevens.
Yeah, look, I came here with a concern about the ownership of the land, which has been debated at length, and the same questions I had were asked earlier. I've learnt probably more during this about the planning scheme than I have through any other planning application we've dealt with. It's been interesting from that perspective. I'm not convinced, though, that we should be, on this occasion, we should be going against our professional planning advice. Whilst I think that councillors, we have a role to play, and occasionally I think it's reasonable that every now and then council does disagree with its planners, I'm not seeing a compelling reason to go against their professional advice on this occasion. The explanation there was that if there was a way to refuse it, this is the way, but still is not within the... certainly not recommended. Just thinking about, ensuring that we are acting responsibly with ratepayers' money, and it does appear to me as though this would be a risky decision for council to take, and that's why I'd foreshadow that if this is lost, then I would remove the original motion as printed, including the amendment advised to condition 12. Thanks.
Thank you, Councillor Weeder. Councillor Atkinson.
Thank you, Mayor. I think I understand the point Councillor Winter's raising. What interests me is the reasons in this motion that's before us. I think that we should be looking carefully at setbacks and solar access. I think that the more we compromise on these things, we're compromising on what's sort of determined as a reasonable thing. Yes, there are cases where we should reduce setbacks. There are probably more minimal cases where we shouldn't look at solar access, but these things are put into the scheme for a reason. It's to protect, well, not only the character of a neighbourhood and the setbacks and so on, but what we're saying is a reasonable sort of dwelling, a reasonable sort of way to live. If we continue to apply discretions here and there, and let the distance of buildings from boundaries reduce past what's the considered sort of the norm, or we say, oh, well, the house doesn't really need solar access, and we've had some of these before us previously, I think we're compromising all the time. I think these are... Well, these are good grounds to refuse this, and I think there are a whole lot of subsidiary things that have been discussed which, although not grounds that we're prepared to put into this motion, indicate this is an overdevelopment of this site, and so I'm prepared to support this motion.
Thank you, Councillor Atkinson. Further speakers? Then I'll put the recommendation moved by Councillor Fox, seconded by Councillor Atkinson, that in accordance with Council Policy 1.1, Delegated Authority Policy, the Planning Authority resolves that the report of the Manager Development Services be received, and that the development application for a boundary adjustment between two titles and subdivision of three lots at 65 Roslyn Avenue and adjoining Council land, Certificate of Title 249081, Folio 1, Kingston Beach for Rogerson and Birch Surveyors, be refused for the following reasons, and there is one reason. I'll ask councillors to vote. Councillors in favour of the refusal, please say aye. Councillors opposed, say no. Nay. So we'll have a division or a show of hands, please. Those in favour of the motion are councillors Bastone, Chatterton, Fox, Berry, Atkinson and Rees, and opposing the motion are councillors Winter, Percy and Wass. Motion is carried. The open session of council will now resume at a time of 6:20 p.m. and the first item with an officer's report relates to the Kingborough Family Daycare, and there is a recommended motion on page 138. Thank you, Councillor Reek. Thank you, Councillor Chatterton. Councillor Reek.
Thank you. Well, the motion we have before us, I think, or the recommendation, will certainly provide some greater certainty for the staff of the family daycare unit and the parents who use the services. I have to say that I'm delighted to see that the recommendation is for Blacklands Bay Children's Services to take it over, given their strong reputation and their the way that they've operated their business for, I think, around 25 years or even longer, 30 years, I think. No, actually, it must be longer because former Councillor Nolan was the director for 25 years, so it's well and truly over 30 years.
I was a family day carer in 1988.
You were a family day carer? Oh, there we go. It's a random fact. Thank you.
That was before Adam was a boy.
And I was a former parent of children who went through Blacklands Bay Children's Services, so I know the organisation well, and I believe that they have a structure in place where they will be able to have a smooth transition for both the staff and the parents who use the family daycare scheme. I'm just glad that, I think we've come to this over the last couple of years. There's been some angst associated with getting to this point, but I think that it is a great positive, and I look forward to seeing it come to fruition, and so I recommend the motion.
Thank you, Councillor Reed. Councillor Fox?
Well, I would support Councillor Reed's speech. Actually, I find it fascinating that we've come full circle from the previous decision on this issue. And I don't want to be seen to be looking at only from a financial point of view. I realise that the service has tried very hard to break even, but has found it impossible. But I think circumstances have changed, and it's very positive that both the carers and the staff are very keen to promote this transition, and that is the main reason that I'm supporting it. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Fox. Councillor Percy.
I certainly support it as well. One of the first things that happened when I became a councillor was the emotional reaction of the parents to us thinking of selling or transferring this business somewhere else. So I'm just wondering, could somebody give me a rundown on what sort of consultation has been done with the parents themselves? Because last time we had meetings and plenty of correspondence with parents, obviously didn't want it. So that's probably the first question.
Yep, I'll ask Ms. Jenny to respond to that one. Ms. Jenny?
Thank you. Through you, Mr. Mayor. The parents have been involved in the information through the educators themselves, so educators have had conversations with the parents directly as they're closest to the parents, and the overall reaction from the parents has been that as long as you're my carer, I really don't mind who the organisation is heading the service.
Thank you, Ms. Jenny.
The second one is obviously on financials. One of the reasons why we should transfer this organisation to Blacklands Bay Childcare is the $150,000 we're going to lose next year after 30th of June 2018. Will Blacklands Bay CS also lose that amount or not receive that amount once they take it over? I'm just wondering how a business can take over something like ours and be $150,000 down in revenue, yet still break even, or whether they do it. I mean, it's obviously a not-for-profit, but so let's say break even. So that's just an area I'd just like to know how they intend to do that, I suppose.
Thank you. Ms. Jenny?
Through you, Mr. Mayor. Blacktons Bay Children's Services will be in the same position as every other provider with losing the funding. The parents will be the ones deciding how to spend the funds in future. The benefits, I guess, that Blacktons Bay Children's Services has is economies of scale, working in the industry and having a number of resources to pool, which is very different to the council situation.
Mm-hmm. And the final question is, we said that we have a $48,000 corporate charge that we charge childcare. Is that going to be a real saving to council when this business is transferred over, or will it just be absorbed into other cost centres? So perhaps the general manager could answer that one for me. Thank you.
Mr. Arnold.
Through you, Mr. Mayor. As the report outlines, Councillor Percy, the only real saving will be the potential for us to reallocate the use of the building moving forward, possibly a commercial lease. In answer to your direct question, the reality is that it would probably be absorbed into our operational costs.
That's all your questions, Councillor Percy? It is, thank you. Councillor Winter?
Yes, I was going to ask the question about consultation with parents, and because I noted the word parent wasn't used in the report, but I'm pleasantly surprised to hear that. Not surprised, I shouldn't say it. It's great to hear that the parents have received it so well, and explains why we haven't heard that chorus of angst that we heard, as Councillor Percy said, just as we arrived here. We certainly, that was a difficult time for the parents, who were quite stressed about it and obviously hold the service in high regard. But I think what the reaction this time also shows is that the proposed new provider is also held in high regard, and as Ms. Jenny just said, that parents are interested in who the educator is as opposed to what organisation they are associated with. In the discussion points here, it's listed quite a lot of material from within the review document. Now, my understanding at the time was that was dealt with in closed session as per the whole thing was, and I'm seeing it in open session here, details which I wasn't allowed to share with the public at the time. So I'm just wondering what the process was for this this information to now be public. Is that just a matter of the general manager decreeing it is now public, or how does it work?
I'll ask Mr. Arnold to respond. Mr. Arnold?
Through you, Mr. Mayor. Thanks for raising it, Councillor Winter, because it's important, I think, to note that there has been a lot of background work that's been undertaken to get to this point with this report. My colleagues, Ms. Jenny and Mr. Smee, have been involved in negotiations not only with staff, we've had to bring the unions along, the educators, of course, and lengthy discussions with Blacktons Bay Childcare Centre. But all of those discussions have always been predicated upon our desire to ultimately report this matter to council in the open session of the meeting as opposed to the closed. And that relied on the goodwill of the staff, the support of the unions, and indeed the support of the Blacktons Bay Childcare Centre. And we were able, through the excellent efforts of Daniel and Ange, to be able to achieve that. So I hope that answers your question.
It's good. I am genuinely really pleased that this is being dealt with in open session. I suppose my point is that that's where I felt it belonged all the time. And the section 2.2 directly refers to recommendations that were listed in a review document, which were previously in closed session and therefore not for public consumption for up until this point in time. So I guess this is the sort of thing I wanted to discuss at the time, and it appears as though now, for whatever reason, we can discuss it. I'm not even sure if I could talk about what was in that report. Now I'm totally confused about whether what's public and what's not. But there was a lot of information in the report. I thought it was a very good report at the time. Bugger if I know if I can talk about it. But the right decision has been made eventually. I guess that's the major point I want to make, is that we have an obvious partner there that can take over this service, and I really think that it is going to be to the benefit of the service and for Kingborough parents who want to use family daycare that the service goes in this direction, and I'm really pleased that we've got to this outcome eventually. Thanks.
Thank you, Councillor Winter. Councillor Chatterton.
Yeah, I'd just like to clarify something, Ms Jenny, and ask her a question in regards to the $150,000. Is this one of those programs where the government now has decided to give the money to the parents and they decide how they're going to fund it rather than going to the service and then they do the funding? Is that what Ms Jenny was referring to? Could I have an answer, please?
Through you, Mr Mayor. The information that we've received so far has been minimal, but we understand that it's a part of a family's package that's being developed, so the detail is yet to be received.
Yep. Okay, thank you. So I mean, it's just like part of the aged care system now, where the funding's going to the individual person in aged care or one who's getting care in the home, and then they select the provider that they wish to spend it with rather than going to the provider and then the person goes to the home. So obviously it's part of the package that's changing. But look, when this was originally discussed some years ago by ex-Councillor Nolan, and her thought was at the time it should be going to someone such as Blackmans Bay Children's Services. And obviously with the good work that's been done between the staff and the unions and Blackmans Bay Children's Services, except for now we've got the parents happy and it's going to be bubbling along, it's not part of council's core business to be doing family daycare. Support the idea of family daycare, I think, is great, but I think this is the way which we should be going, and I totally support it being transferred to Blackmans Bay Children's Services.
Thank you, Councillor Chadden. Councillor Berry.
Thank you, Mayor. I won't be talking for long. I completely support and endorse what Councillor Chadden said, and also the way in which this has been handled. I think it's excellent. I mean, just taking up briefly the issue that Councillor Winter mentioned, I was a little bit surprised to see all sorts of numbers around, and somewhat flippantly, Mr. General Manager, I'm not entirely sure that you answer Councillor Winter's question, but I don't wish you to repeat that. But I think it's an interesting issue. I mean, there's absolutely no reason why this should be in closed session. There are things like tenders that clearly need to be compulsory purchase of land. I'm sure there are other ones covered by the Local Government Act, but it's good that it is here in open session, and certainly I fully support it.
Thank you, Councillor Berry. I'd simply like to say that I support the recommendation. I believe the Blackmans Bay Children's Services will do a wonderful job with it and carry it forward better than perhaps we are able to. So I fully support that recommendation. I'll ask Councillor Reid to close debate.
Thank you, and thank you to councillors for their support for this. I just wanted to touch on just what Councillor Winter mentioned, and that was that there were no mention of parents in the document, but there's lots of mentions of families. So they've broadened it. So you've got to search for families as well. Ms Jenny's nodding vigorously behind you, so I just thought that she didn't have the chance to say that, so I thought I should say it. And with that, just say that I'd just like to take the chance to congratulate Ms Jenny on the process here, because I do feel that the process that's been outlined has been very inclusive of families/parents, and as well as staff, and let's hope for a smooth transition for Kingborough Family Daycare and its long health into the future.
Councillors, I'll put the recommendation moved by Councillor Reid, seconded by Councillor Chadden, that Council approve the proposed transfer of the Kingborough Family Day Care Service to Blackmans Bay Children's Services, and the General Manager be authorised to complete the necessary arrangements. Councillors in favour, please say aye. Those against? It's carried unanimously. The next item is on page 139.
25A Osborne Esplanade, Kingston Beach and Kingston Beach Surf Life Saving Club. I do have a recommendation. Councillor Chatterton.
I move the matter be discussed, please.
I have a second, Councillor Atkinson. I'll put that the matter be discussed. Councillors in favour, please say aye.
Aye.
Those against? It's carried unanimously. Councillor Chatterton.
Thank you, Mayor. Look, this is quite a very detailed report, and I'm disappointed that we haven't got Mr. Ferrier here with us tonight, but obviously he's got other commitments, Mr. Arnold. But I have lots of questions which I would like to ask on this, and in fact I've got some other thoughts and ideas which I think should be explored. I am concerned that that we haven't workshopped this, and I think to me this should be workshopped. I believe we need to make a decision as soon as possible to keep the surf club happy, but at the same time we need to make the right decision for them, for the RSL and for the council. And I'm very concerned that we've got a magnificent detailed report here before us, and I think all of us would probably have lots of questions, and we'd have lots of perhaps other ideas that might work to support both the surf club and others. And if we make the wrong decision, and if particularly when it comes to the Kingston Beach Oval, if we make the wrong decision to put the second shed for surf club as per the plan we have before us, and I'm not saying that's where it should go, but if we're going to, and we've given this sort of understanding to the RSL that they may be able to put a proposal later on to do something in a similar area there, will the two, a venue that serves alcohol, etc., be complementary to children from the surf club? That worries me, and I don't want to see us up our nest from both sides, and I think we really need to workshop this, and that's, I'm just interested in the comments around the table, but I really think I'd be against making a decision on this tonight, and I foreshadow that my motion would be to refer this to a workshop.
Thank you, Councillor Chatterton. Councillor Weeder.
Thanks, Mayor. I fundamentally, absolutely disagree with the recommended motion. This is basically a plan here to limit 25A Osborne Esplanade to being a public preserve with sheds, public toilet facilities, and a 50-year lease for 50 years. Now, there's 49 years, I think. Sorry, 49. Now, if we just get back to first principles, does anybody really think that that is the best use of 25A Osborne Esplanade? Right, so what I want us to do is take our local government hats off and become people of... No, not become. We are, underneath that, we are people of common sense. This is not a good idea to do that. It is not a good idea, fundamentally, to put a surf lifesaving club facilities... I know there are some there already, but more of them away from the beach at a cricket oval. I don't think I'm going to hear too many disagreements about that. But I also hear the Surf Life Saving Club in their, my perception of it is, I hear frustration. I hear a group that has just toiled away at this for so long now and expended so much of their volunteer hours on this project that they just want to get a result and they want to get a win. And I totally respect that, and I respect all the work that they've done. At the end of the day, we're here in the best interests of the broader community, not just the Kingston Beach community, not just the Surf Life Saving Club, but the whole of Kingborough, and in fact broader Greater Hobart who utilise this beach and love it. So I can't have it that the best use of 25A Osborne Esplanade is sheds and a toilet block. By the way, I can't have it that there is any sense that there might be heritage reasons around this toilet block. It is a dilapidated, disgusting public toilet. It has no heritage value whatsoever, and I will not hear anybody tell me anything different. It's it needs to be demolished, if anything. There's no way that I'm ever going to support refurbishing. unless it was for a short period of time. So look, what I'm saying is I want to see solutions, and I out of this document, which is incredibly comprehensive, but I guess I'm looking at a report which is just smothered in local government, bureaucratic, risk-averse mentality that, whilst I totally understand, because that's where it comes from, I don't think it's taking us in a direction that we need to go to. I want to see a home for the Surf Life Saving Club as soon as possible. I want to see nippers being able to have a warm shower. But we need to be thinking long term here, and we need to have a vision for the site. Now my rant's over, I guess I can get on to the actual content of what I wanted to say. That is that my question, my first question is, in relation to the DA for 25A Osborne Esplanade, which was recently rejected by council, did the developers, being council, Kingston Beach Surf Life Saving Club or OEI, ever meet with council's planning staff to determine whether a structure was compliant with the planning scheme, engineering considerations and present and proposed competing uses could be designed?
Mr. Arnold? Are you able to, or is a staff member able to give us that assurance?
Through you, Mr. Mayor. Councillor Winter, council was a party to both DA applications, as all councillors are aware, and I think it's fair to say, though, not the lead party and not listed as the applicant in either. But on each occasion, the lead party, and latterly with the second DA, the consultant planner, did meet with council planning staff on a number of occasions.
Right.
That's the short answer to your question.
Okay. So what I'm reading in the report is, I guess I'm reading some inconsistencies in terms of what's possible and what's not. So 2.18 makes it clear that, in fact, you can develop the proposed uses, including a restaurant at 25A, and that is a good sign, yet we've seen an application come to the Planning Authority which appeared to be non-compliant in a number of areas. So that confuses me, I suppose. The report also talks about the fact that if the Surf Life Saving Club was to develop at the Kingston Beach Oval, they'd be dealing with a recreational zoning, and that therefore that would mean that it would be a permitted use and that it would have a greater chance of being approved. So what my question is, why can't council look at rezoning 25A Osborne Esplanade to recreational use, given that its existing use is storage for a surf life-saving club and a public toilet, and then apply those same principles to looking at getting a development application up for a surf life-saving club on that site?
Mr. Arnold?
Through you, Mr. Mayor. Council could look at, as the owner of the land, council could look at attempting to have a rezoning case made for 25A Osborne Esplanade to whatever zone could be applied. I think the answer to your question, though, is that it's a matter of timing for the Surf Life Saving Club. They've been in limbo for the last 2 years, at least, probably longer, they would say, and I'm mindful that they're in the gallery tonight. A rezoning generally takes time, considerable time, with no guarantee of a preferred outcome, similar to, dare I say it, the development applications that have taken place on 25A Osborne Esplanade. And for council to go down that path, there would first, obviously, need to be a majority decision in the chamber about the zoning that the council was trying to achieve for 25A and the reasons for that. And that would probably require a more detailed response than I'm able to give tonight.
Yeah, I understand that. But we're looking at a report that takes us in a direction, or a recommendation that takes us in a direction away from developing 25A Osborne Esplanade into a surf lifesaving club, which is council's existing position, has been to develop that site. And it's also been wildly popular suggestion in the community. It's been hugely popular. I'm surprised anyone would disagree with that particular position. On terms of the funding, I contacted our local member for Franklin today.
30 seconds, Councillor.
Mr. Street, and he just furnished me with a statement that was released to the media on the 27th of June about Council's decision to refuse the DA, and he alerted me to the fact that the state government has now extended this funding for another 12 months. So, the state government has extended this funding out for another 12 months. So we are not looking at a extremely limited time frame here, and we have a state government that appears very supportive of the Surf Lifesaving Club and of the development. I won't be supporting the recommended motion. I know we're just discussing, but I desperately want to keep that vision that we have still got at the moment, and try and work our way around this as opposed to giving up and going for second best.
Thank you. Councillor Atkinson.
Thank you, Mayor. I won't antagonise Councillor Winter by saying the words he won't hear about the toilet box. I also don't want to support the motion recommendation that's been put. We originally came to this discussion because we said this is a valuable piece of land and a strategically important piece of land for Council to do something valuable to the community with. And before my time on Council, I watched debates about whether it should be sold, whether toilets should be built on the foreshore, back and forth and all around the place. And I was glad to see that it was retained as a community asset. I feel like it's premature to make this decision about which direction we go tonight. I agree that we need to workshop this. We need an opportunity to discuss the options between the councillors and to talk to staff and ask questions in more detail. I think we need, even if we were to end up with this option, I would want to have a discussion about where the funding's coming from, because part of the original motivation for asking for expressions of interest of what to do with the site was to fund the refurbishment of the toilets. Now we're back to the situation where we're finding that funding out of a budget that we've already set for this year, so we're rearranging our capital works to accommodate it by the proposal. And I've lost my train of thought. We have to explore the options a bit further. I would even be interested in hearing firsthand from the Surf Lifesaving Club about their opinions of this option and other options. And as much as I know Councillor Minter believes this is a popular choice to have the Surf Lifesaving Club there, I believe it's a controversial choice, and the Council has to work out how to manage that through the community. And so part of that workshop should be to discuss how we take this to the community about what we do with that piece of land. Because if we make a decision, if we vote to say for this motion tonight, we're once again making a decision without really discussing with the community how to manage those conflicting interests. The Surf Lifesaving Club have strong ideas about what they'd like, and I agree there's a portion of the community that support that strongly. There's other people that have other strong feelings about that piece of land, and I don't think we should make decisions based on a written report that we received on Wednesday on something that's is controversial for the community. And so I think that we have to workshop this. We have to work out how to move it forward. I know that I've discussed this with other councillors, and they said, well, what extra information would a workshop provide? Even if it didn't provide extra information, I think that we need the opportunity for us to discuss it, and that's where ideas come from. And then we can, there may be other information we require, but I think it's premature to make this decision tonight. I'm glad that Councillor Chatterton not only moved to discuss this, but foreshadowed that motion, because I similarly would have foreshadowed a motion for a workshop. So that's the direction I'd like to go. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Atkinson. Councillor Percy.
I'll take mine off.
I certainly agree with what's been said before, and I would support a workshop of it. Particularly agree with Councillor Winter and Councillor Atkinson. I think this is our last chance to make a credible decision on this property. I must admit I was away when the decision was made last time, but it was an easy decision to make because council officers recommended it. But the amount of community backlash we got from that lost a lot of credibility for this council, I think, and we need to get that back. I think even though this is a good report, it is a bit of a quick fix. I can see where there's frustration on behalf of the Surf Life Saving, and they probably just want an answer at the moment or some solution at the moment, as Councillor Minna said. But I think we really need to work our way through this. This is the most prized possession on Kingston Beach, I think, this property. There's so much potential, and you know, we're not looking at something over the next 2 years, as we said. We're looking at something for the next 50 years. And if we end up with a toilet block and a couple of sea containers on there or something like that, then that's not our best answer. So I think we need to workshop it, and we need to do that fairly soon if we've got to cancel another workshop, because I can see the frustration of the Surf Life saying they probably want an answer too. So I just hope they support that. Probably the first thing we should do is to contact them, and I know one is in the audience, the President, just to see whether they agree with that. But whether they agree with it or not, I think we need to do something better with that site of 25A. Ask Mr. Mayor. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Percy. Councillor Fox.
The more I listen, the more I hear the wisdom around the table. I did have reservations about this motion, but I felt that it was at least giving direction to the surf life-saving people, and that we would still be looking at designing and costing and agreeing in principle and further consideration, which is embedded deeply into this report. And the 49 years isn't mentioned in the motion, so I don't think we can be held to that. I do agree that we should retain the ownership of Osborne Esplanade as public reserve and for community purposes, and I really strongly feel we should, this current financial year, refurbish or replace the existing toilets. I've been wanting to do this for 30 years. Can you imagine? I mean, this toilet has been one of the priorities for the community for that long, and it's been overwhelmed by Blackens Bay being refurbished first. In fact, going back, I mean, there was a report provided by the Access Committee on all our toilets, and we had a complete review of them, and this one was one of the top on the list, and that's at least 20 years ago as well. You know, it's just an ongoing issue, and I think we need to make that decision. Those toilets, as Councillor Percy said, it's such a busy place now. The area is developing and becoming more and more popular, and the infrastructure of those toilets is hopelessly inadequate for the population that wants to use it. In fact, most people who live here don't use it anymore, and it's not a good thing. They are paying the rates, and they have been for a long time, and those toilets need upgrading. And we've had a master plan which identified that this is the location that we're going to do those toilets, not somewhere else, not some other part of the beach, but on this location. And then to fit the needs of the Surf Life Saving Club and others around that basic decision, I think is so important. And everything we come up with could well be a temporary solution. It might be a permanent solution. It might be the beginning of a master plan for this block. But at least we need to make a positive decision in that direction rather than having another workshop, which is not in the public. It's not in the... It doesn't involve the public. It doesn't involve community input or transparency. It is just a workshop amongst councillors. And I feel that this report is so detailed and has come up with all the summaries and all the recommendations and is very clear in its direction, and I feel that we owe it to ourselves to have a clear direction and maybe have a workshop on the details, but we need to have a direction here.
Thank you, Councillor Fox. Councillor Berry.
Yeah, thank you, Mayor. Well, 2008, was when this got started, and going for 9 years, and council still waiting, and so it's a Kingston Beach population for a decision to be made. I'd caution about using the word right decision. The only thing that will happen is that a decision will be made. Time alone will tell us whether it's the right one. But I mean, we, you know, basically, I guess I'm happy to sit down at yet another workshop to discuss this site. I'm not sure what new information we can possibly be provided with. I don't know how the Surf Club will think about council sitting down once again, have a workshop to try and find a solution to this. It is a difficult problem, there's no question about it. It wouldn't have hung around for all this length of time. But we need to do something, and we need to do something fairly soon, and that something does need to involve those toilets, for sure. So I came in thinking, not another workshop, what's the point? But it looks like most people want to sit down and discuss it again, so I'm happy to join. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Berry. Councillor Reid?
Thank you. I won't say too much because I think everybody has contributed significantly already, but I do agree with Councillor Winter about the fact that I can see no heritage value in those toilets. I suppose, well, there is a lot of history in them, I'm sure. Not even going to go there. It's probably even more reason why they need to be demolished. But, you know, look, I used to be the Minister for Heritage, and I know there's heritage value in the strangest of things, but in this toilet block, you've got to wonder. So, look, I think that I understand the frustration of the Surf Life Saving Club, of residents. You know, as a council, we're frustrated with this going around in circles yet again. But I do think that, particularly as Councillor Chatterton and Councillor Atkinson said, we need to have a workshop. I was pretty surprised to open up the documents and see that we'd gone from the decision that we made only a few weeks ago to yet trying to make another decision, which I felt like was on the run. And so I do think that there is merit in us sitting down and talking it through again. As Councillor Chatterton said, there are a range of other ideas that haven't been mooted in this document that are worth considering. You know, they always say no idea is a bad idea, so we do need to make sure that we're looking at all the possible options. I would like to hear from the Surf Life Saving Club again at an opportunity as well. Once we've workshopped it, maybe not at that first workshop, but once we've workshopped it so that we can then take it further. And I think Councillor Atkinson's point is right about how do we engage the wider community in this, because I think if there's one thing that we learned from the previous revisiting of this was that it's not just the members of the Kingston Beach Surf Life Saving Club who have an interest in this, but the broader community have an interest, not only from the perspective of wanting decent toilets and change rooms, but they have people, residents from all over Kingborough are very attached to Kingston Beach. It's, you know, one of our iconic beaches in the municipality, and so I would like to see us broadly engaging with the community to seek some feedback as well. Will this end up with the right result? I don't think any of us can know, but let's just hope that we can come up with something that can satisfy most people. I'm not going to be optimistic enough to say that will satisfy everyone, because I think that that is a very difficult thing to promise. But I hope that we can go much further in satisfying more people than we did previously.
Thank you, Councillor Reid. Councillor Bastow?
Not having been lucky enough to be on the council since 2008, and this is only probably the third time I've been looking at this thing. When we look at one of the options, that selling off the rear of the property, which we bought
part of the block next door to give us access anyway. To me, it seems so much of what the council has been doing with this toilet block is trying to find a way of getting it for free. So it's all been, how can we manage to not pay but have something really reasonable there, and the Surf Life Saving Club. Surf Life Saving Club have money from the government. We have money if we cut the back part of the block off, which will pay for the new toilet. And we don't end up paying too much money. I think there are ways around it, but to me, if the whole reason this has taken so long is because we've been trying to do it without paying any money ourselves.
Thank you. Do you have a question, Councillor Winter? Question only?
Yes. What has been the engagement from Council with Osborne Esplanade Investments since the Planning Authority's decision? Where's that relationship at the moment?
Mr. Arnold?
Through you, Mr. Mayor. Councillors will be aware that over the last 2 years, my colleague Tony Ferrier, who's unfortunately on annual leave and interstate this week, and myself have met regularly with both Osborne Esplanade Investments and the Surf Life Saving Club for a period of months weekly. We held a further meeting after the council decision to refuse the latest development application, and the relationship with both parties remains cordial. We've since been, since that meeting of all parties, we've since held further discussions with the Surf Life Saving Club that led to the report being on the agenda for council's consideration tonight.
Thanks.
Thank you. I'll just have a few words and then I'll hand over to Councillor Chatterton for his foreshadowed motion.
I also have a question when you're ready.
Yes, one question now, Councillor Atkinson.
It was really, when Councillor Winter asked the same question I was originally going to ask, but do you get the impression that Osborne Esplanade Investment, you said that the relationship's still cordial, are they still interested in some development at that site if there was something suitable? Is that something that they're still in the books?
Mr. Arnold?
Three, Mr. Mayor, I didn't get that impression at the last meeting we had.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. Certainly what I wanted to say was that there was a comprehensive report ahead of us or in front of us tonight, but like Councillor Chadden, I think it poses more questions than perhaps it answers. When we start talking toilets, do we want one or do we want two? Because it's a fairly long distance from one end of Kingston Beach to the other, and if you're in a bit of a hurry, I guess it's even further. Let's look at the Kingston Beach Surf Life Saving Club. What is in the best interest for them? And you would have to say the location of Osborne Esplanade is their best outcome. From the representors that we had to the development application, it's my interpretation, rightly or wrongly, that some or many of those that oppose that because of the restaurant component in the second story and too large a building. If 25A can't be used, then obviously from council's perspective, we need, and that's for the surf club I'm talking about, if that can't be used, I believe we need to investigate options for the site and opportunities also for the surf club. Will the Kingston Beach Surf Life Saving Club and the RSL both end up at Kingston Beach Oval area? And what implications does that have, as Councillor Chadden, I think, alluded to before? What use for the land in Albert Street? And when we've purchased that, now what is that going to be used for? what land sale option, which was touched on, if those sites can't be used? I think we need to understand the Kingston Beach Surf Life Saving Club's needs for a radio room and patrol room if they're going to be capable and monitor and protect any person in difficulty. Is it best to have that in a location they can use week in, week out, or is it better for them to put up something temporary, and what comes with that creates issues on the beach for other residents, and also the placement doesn't make that a place where you can pass by easy. What are the financial implications, and how much of the building, if you like,
can be achieved on the Osborne Esplanade site from what the Surf Life Saving Club has now, and certainly that's something that they would be looking at. And I think we need to affect the best possible outcome, not only for the Kingston Beach Surf Life Saving Club, but the general community. Now, that could be one and the same. And I'll go as far to say that I think we can make the right decision, but we need the right information to do that. So, Councillor Chadden, I'll support your foreshadowed motion, and I'll hear your foreshadowed motion.
Thank you, Mayor. It's a procedural motion, so the matter be deferred and referred to a council workshop process. I'll keep going. I'll just let Ms. Morton keep up with me. With the involvement from the Kingston Beach Surf Life Saving Club and the community to endeavour to bring the matter to conclusion.
Do I have a second? Thank you, Councillor Fox. So I have it on screen there. That the matter be deferred and referred to a council workshop process with involvement from the Kingston Beach Surf Life Saving Club and the community to endeavour to bring the matter to conclusion. I'll put that recommendation. Those in favour, please say aye.
Aye.
Those against? That is carried unanimously. The next item is on page 162, petition home business at 38 Myandetta Drive, and there is a recommendation on page 165. Thank you, Councillor Fox. Do I have a seconder? Councillor Bastone, thank you. No? Do I have a seconder, councillors? Thank you, Councillor Berry. Councillor Fox.
From reading the report, the petition was received prior to the development application being approved, I think. And now it has been approved. One of the conditions is that the sign be removed. And by doing anything else than agreeing with the recommended motion, we'd be setting a precedent that we would have to change a condition in a development application, but also we would have to look at all the illegal signs on the roadways and remove, or you know, agree not to remove them. So we can't have one rule for one and another rule for everyone else. So I feel this is the only option that we can move forward on, and therefore I recommend the motion. That we're not able to give approval for the reinstatement of that sign. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Fox. Councillor Bastone?
I have two questions, please.
Certainly.
The member of the public, the complaint from the member of the public, the actual one of the adjoining neighbours?
I had better ask Mr. Smee. Mr. Smee is able to answer that.
Through you, Mr. Mayor. I'm not sure exactly what complaint you're referring to.
Sorry, the complaint about the sign on the road. 4.5.
Mr. Arnold.
Through you, Mr. Mayor. Councillor Bastone, councillors, that is my understanding, that it was, in fact, from an adjoining neighbour.
Right.
Second
and
question.
The second question is 4.7, direction has been complied with by relocating the sign to a private property with the consent of the landowner. Legalities of this from a planning perspective are currently being assessed. At what stage are they at?
Mr. Arnold.
Through you, Mr. Mayor. I'm not sure I can give an update on that particular question, Councillor Bastone. That was certainly timely at the time the report was prepared. Whether there's been any further correspondence from the planners, I couldn't say.
I noticed as I drove from Woodbridge to here there were 20 illegal signs on the Channel Highway. Yeah, go to Bruni, there's more. Yes, but I'm just... I think what worries me most is that we have a neighbour who did not want this development to go through, who has continually tried to make things difficult, and the owner of the business has tried where possible to get around the sign no longer being on the road by putting it on the neighbouring property, and I think we should be trying fairly hard to help this small business continue, because most of the objections have come from one person.
Thank you, Councillor Bastone. Councillor Atkinson.
Thank you, Mayor. I mean, as has been explained in the report, the vast bulk of this petition is to saying please allow the business to continue to operate. It's an important community business. I have no problem with more power to them that a small business is doing good trade. We lost track of who said, but I think it was Councillor Fox said, we can't start changing our position on signs on roadways. I fully acknowledge there are lots of other illegal signs and we have to do something about that, especially where complaints are received. But if we start saying, yeah, go for it, we will certainly have more and we'll be setting a precedent. So I think actually we are conceding to, or have already conceded to a lot of what this petition is asking, which is letting this business operate. It's only the issue of the sign, and I agree that we shouldn't allow it.
Thank you, Councillor Atkinson. Councillor Chatterton?
I think we need to be very careful. Yes, we have got illegal signs, but if we went with this petition, and this would become, inverted commas, a legal sign, but legal because we've approved it. Now, we haven't got any illegal signs. I know it's a double English, but, this is the problem. And if we go along with the recommendation that's here, then council can assess the sign on another property and give it approval if it's so desired. But it's not allowing it on council reserve where the illegal signs are plentiful and we need to have them removed everywhere through the whole municipality.
Thank you, Councillor Chadden. I'll ask Councillor Fox to close debate if she'd like. Councillors, I'll put the recommendation moved by Councillor Fox, seconded by Councillor Berry, that the organiser of the petition to save Tassie Bird and Poultry Supplies trading as Riverbend Farm Tasmania be advised that council is unable to give approval for the reinstatement of a sign associated with the business within the road reservation on the corner of Myandetta Drive and Sandflow Road. Councillors in favour, please say aye. Those against? That is carried unanimously. The next item is on page 182 and it's a Kingborough Tracks and Trails Draft Strategic Action Plan, and there is a recommendation on page 184 moved by Councillor Atkinson and seconded by Councillor Chadden. Councillor Atkinson.
Thank you, Mayor. I was thrilled when I saw this Tracks and Trails Strategic Action Plan come to Council, because I think it's an area where we perhaps haven't been concentrating as much as we could in the last few years, although we have done significant work in the past. And what pleased me reading this report was the amount of community feedback that we received, not only from individuals but from a variety of groups that use tracks and trails in all sorts of ways, from the trail riders to the members of the bike advisory committee, all sorts of groups. There's many issues that have been raised and the staff have addressed them, and where necessary said where amendments can be made to the strategy and so on. So I commend the recommended motion.
Thank you, Councillor Atkinson. Councillor Chatterton.
Look, I totally agree with what Councillor Atkinson has just said. It did make very interesting reading, I totally endorse the report and totally endorse the comments made by Councillor Atkinson.
Thank you. Councillor Bastone.
I have some questions about the rating of when some of the tracks and trails are to be done. Of course, they relate to Kettering. The council, part of this submission is that it's important to make the loop trails to connect things. And the council has obtained state growth approval to construct a simple but safe walkway along the highway for the return to Trail Bay back to Ferry Road, Kettering, to create a safe loop. That's terrific. But then when we come through to where in the action plan it is, it doesn't appear at all. And I find this a bit unusual. The demure track, which has only recently been requested, is in priority two, but priority one, which completes missing links in current track networks, should be actually given to the creating of the Trail Bay back to the oval. And I don't understand why it's not in there. And the
so do you have a question for Mr. Smead?
Yes, I have a question for Mr. Smead. Why is it not a priority one, Mr. Smead?
Mr. Smead, are you able to answer that for Councillor Bastone?
No, through you, Mr. Mayor. The as Councillor Bastone said, it is a recent initiative, and there are some concerns in relation to the safety of this proposed track. There are concerns in relation to the costs that have been estimated for it, and given that this strategy is looking at track and trail proposals that have historically been on our books, we didn't feel it was appropriate to make that particular one a priority one, given the concerns that are associated with it.
Thank you, Mr. Smith.
Can I just ask why it is not listed at all as priority one, two, or three?
You certainly may. Mr. Smee, again, please.
Through you, Mr. Mayor, and until such time as we would consider this to be a viable option, we wouldn't be listing it as something that we're going to be pursuing.
Thank you. Further discussion, councillors? If not, I'll put, and for the record, Councillor Percy left the meeting at 7.13, returning at 7.15, and obviously is in the room now for the vote. I'll put the recommendation moved by Councillor Atkinson, seconded by Councillor Chadden, that the Kingborough Tracks and Trails Strategic Action Plan 2017 to 2022 be endorsed. Councillors in favour, please say aye. Those against? It's carried. Okay, so we'll have a division or a show of hands then, please. Those in favour are Councillors Winter, Percy, Chatterton, Fox, Berry, Atkinson, Reet and Watts, and opposing the motion, Councillor Bastone. Motion is carried. The next item is on page 243, Community Grants, Round 1, 2017-18, and a recommendation on page 244. Councillor Reet and Councillor Atkinson. Any discussion, Councillor Reet? Councillor Atkinson?
Just briefly, had a question, and I won't second guess the answer. In those examples, say number 7, where they asked for 3,000 and we're recommending 2,000, or someone asked for 3,000 and we're giving them 1,820 at item 13. Could we just explain why that? Why are we giving them, rather than going yes or no, we're giving them some fraction of what they asked for?
Miss Jenny's got a smile on her face, and I know she's got the answer. Miss Jenny.
Through you, Mr. Mayor. Surprisingly, there were quite a few applications requesting the full 3,000, but the quotes that they put forward were below the 3,000, and we had to give 50% of that because we're sticking with our requirements.
Thank you.
Councillor Reed?
I do have a question.
Certainly.
Number 11, what is a trishore trailer that dementia-friendly Tasmania wanted? No,
it's a trishore that it's an electric trishore, so two wheels at the rear.
What's a trishore? I don't know.
Yeah, like a rickshaw.
But powered by a bike, not a.
No, it's powered electric one, and it's used to put people suffering from dementia on the front, so they can feel the exhilaration, if you like,
so
of being
free. So they feel like they're riding the bike.
Exactly right.
Cool.
Yeah.
Excellent.
Anything you wish to add, Miss Jenny?
That was a lovely description, thank you.
I've actually been on it, so yeah. And I'm not suffering from dementia, I hope.
Was that for dementia-friendly Tasmania?
It was, actually. Any further questions, comments? If not, I'll put the recommendation moved by Councillor Reid, seconded by Councillor Atkinson. The Council approved the allocation of funding as outlined in the attached table, which is on page 245. Councillors in favour, please say aye. Those against? That is carried unanimously. The next item is on page 246, information reports. Thank you, Councillor Chadden, and thank you, Councillor Percy. And the first report is the General Manager's Diary for the period 5 June to the 30th of June 2017. Any questions to the General Manager? Councillor Reid?
I guess a general question, because it appears a couple of times in here, and that is that you've noted a couple of times that people have come in to discuss development applications. Why? Do they come in with general questions, or can you sort of... It just seems seems unusual that they would come to the General Manager.
Mr. Arnold?
Through you, Mr. Mayor. They generally relate to situations where they're either the proponent for a development application and occasionally disgruntled with the process, or alternatively, they have met a challenge that they believe might necessarily be within their domain, and I need to take them through the legislation that we operate under and try to explain in layman's terms what we can and can't consider and why we can and can't consider it. And sometimes they relate to, dare I say it, neighbourly disputes that I sometimes am able to assist in the resolution of, and other times throw my hands up in despair that I can't assist.
Councillor Berry?
Yes, I just wonder if I might ask, this is the National General Assembly Conference. I'm not requesting a detailed report, just maybe a couple of dot points if there was something there that you think that councillors might be interested in. I've been to a few of these meetings and I'd be interested to know if you have something to tell us about.
Mr. Arnold?
Through you, Mr. Mayor. Councillor Berry, I have actually provided my notes from that particular conference attendance in a recent GM's grab. So I'm happy to recirculate that. But I think it's fair to say that on this particular occasion, the main take, I believe, was that the Mayor and I were able to have a number of meetings with federal politicians to continue to push the case for federal government funding for Kingston Park in between conference sessions. And I think the indications that both the Mayor and I got from attendance at those meetings, we remain cautiously optimistic that our continued door knocking or banging, as I think one of the councillors might have alluded to the last time we discussed Kingston Park, may one day pay off.
And I will be providing a report, hopefully, to the next council meeting, Councillor Berry, sir. Another question, Councillor Reid?
Yeah, I have, sorry.
Yeah.
I should have asked this one earlier. In the resolutions that are still being actioned... Oh, sorry, no, we haven't got to that yet, have we?
We're on that now.
Oh, we are?
Yep.
I just moved us on. I wanted to ask about whether we had... It's nearly 3 months since we wrote to the Minister for Local Government urging him to allow the administrator...
Commissioner.
The Commissioner, sorry, of the Huon Valley to discuss possible amalgamations. And I know we haven't had a response, which is a little disturbing. can you give us any further information, or do we intend to follow that up? Because it just seems it's just like a number of things that's dragging on. And I would have thought that the state government, the closer they get to an election, would want a resolution to all this local government reform.
Mr. Arnold?
through you, Mr. Mayor. Councillor Reid, your question is exceedingly timely. The short answer to your question is that we have received an acknowledgement from the Minister's office, but no response from the Minister. The longer answer is that, again, this morning, the Mayor and I attended yet another meeting with our counterparts from Hobart, Glenorchy and Clarence. We were comparing notes in relation to our continued discussions about outcomes and possible outcomes and fallout, indeed, from the Greater Hobart Feasibility Study. And we shared what I've just shared with Council, that we've written to the Minister, received an acknowledgement, but some nearly 3 months later, still no response from the Minister. And it would appear that from the discussions this morning that Commissioner Smith at Glenorchy is in a similar situation to Kingborough in that regard, still awaiting a response from the Minister.
Well, given that we've then been waiting nearly 3 months, I would have thought that we need to try and apply some pressure and, you know, do it publicly if we have to. You know, where's our response? This is an issue that's on the firmly on the agenda of the state government, and they're not even responding to a positive suggestion as to how we can move this forward for them. It makes no sense to me. So I think that we need to bang the table. I think it was the words from Councillor Winter the other week. Was it thump the table, bang the table? Doesn't sound right, does it? Oh, the stick, right. Carrot and stick. Yeah, big stick time.
General Manager's noted that. Any further questions regarding the current and previous minute resolutions? If not, we'll move on to Climate Action 21, Tasmania's Climate Change Action Plan 2017-2021. And for anyone that went past Blackmans Bay Beach today, I think there was more birds on the beach and water than in these photos. Councillor Fox.
I actually had a comment from a bird expert that the birds have multiplied since the fish farms have been using fish feed on the surface of the pens, and that they are being very well fed and therefore multiplying. But they are native birds to our region.
True. Thank you for that. Councillor Percy.
Yes, just putting on my accounting set. Yeah. Very good report, I must admit. But I'd just like it to know a little bit of information. When we approved the Climate Change Innovation Lab, we certainly had a budget for it and all that sort of thing. And I'm just wondering, I see in here where we're working with the Tasmanian Climate Change Office and the GATT to undertake a project to evaluate the climate change governance status of all the local councils in Tasmania. That's Kingborough Council staff, that is. I'm just wondering whether this is being costed to a certain area and we know exactly how much costs we're incurring. One of my concerns was at the time of this that we were going to be using our own staff, and we needed to ensure that they weren't being sidetracked, I suppose, to do these sort of things when the number of staff we have is at a premium at the moment. The use of the staff is at a premium because haven't got a lot of resources. So if we could...
Mr. Arnold, if you can answer a question from Councillor Percy.
Through you, Mr. Mayor. Councillor Percy, the council workshop scheduled for Monday the 17th of July is to accommodate the climate change action plan and the climate change office, but also to provide our manager John Doole with an opportunity to update council and answer questions about the evolution of the innovation lab.
Mm-hmm.
I've seen a draft of the presentation, which also addresses the finances.
That's
and
good.
Will answer those questions. However, having said that,
yep.
I am mindful of a council decision earlier in this meeting tonight, and at this point in time I'm thinking I may bump that workshop for the Surf Lifesaving Club, 25A Osborne Esplanade, and reschedule that one.
Yeah.
Yep.
That's why thinking out loud.
Yep. Also in here it says Kingston Beach, a report has been commissioned to evaluate the potential design options for maintaining an opening in the mouth of Browns River. Has that been budgeted for and how much? It's a commission report by the look of it.
Mr. Arnold.
Through you, Mr. Mayor. I believe the report's been budgeted, but I'm not sure that the the potential expenditure has at this stage, but I'll take that one on notice to confirm, Councillor Percy.
And Nebraska Beach says non-approved coastal protection works. What's meant by that? Does that mean somebody's doing some protection works without us, without our permission, or...?
Through you, Mr. Mayor. Councillor Percy, there's actually photos there, but yep. I've walked that part of Nebraska Beach in the last couple of weeks, and I don't think the photos do the damage justice.
All right. So that's not our works, that's private works. Good. Thank you.
For the record, Councillor Reid left the meeting at 7:28, returning at 7:31, and is in the meeting now. Councillor Chatterton.
Yes, Mayor, look, just referring to 254, page 254, in Natural Resource Management in regards to Boronia Hill. I brought this matter to the attention of Council through a ratepayer bringing it to my attention, but it's great to see that we're now trying to do something about this illegal damage. The ratepayers were very concerned about the damage, and you can see by the photo there, there's considerable damage being done to the reserve. And it's got some very historical value, that reserve, and I know that at various times yourself and Councillor Fox and myself we chaired the Boronia Hill Reserve committees, and we were very concerned about making sure that it was kept in its natural state and environment as part of some funds were provided by the sale of a particular building at Kingston Beach and funds donated to and during the bicentennial process. So it's pleasing that remedial works are going to take place to these illegal works that have been done.
Thank you, Councillor Chedden. Councillor Bastone.
This is regarding the rainbow lorikeet control. It says that the project aims to facilitate community volunteers to monitor the population, calculated around 280, most of whom live in my garden, and next summer assist in the trapping efforts. My question is, how are we actually going to trap these? Because we do have a huge number at our place.
Mr. Arnold.
Through you, Mr. Mayor. I've discussed this with my colleague John Doole, who has assured me that with the assistance of, I think it's the Australian National University and other agencies, they believe that there is a probably one-off opportunity for this council and those groups to control the situation. I think the term eradicate the situation was used because as it spells out in the report, the rainbow lorikeet, beautiful as it is a bird that apparently takes over, bullies the swift parrot, and all the efforts are aimed at preservation of the swift parrot.
No, I understand that, but what I'm getting at is how are we going to do it?
I'm sorry, through Mr. Mayor, I'm sorry.
You know, running around with a butterfly net.
I don't have the detail of what's proposed.
You can experiment at our house.
I think on the earlier discussion that the General Manager's going to have a big stick, I think he's going to let you borrow it.
Okay, thank you.
I do have an answer.
Yes,
I've been asked, and I know a lot of people have been asked, to have traps set up on their property where they feed the birds and then the birds are taken away and euthanized. So that's the only way. Yeah. My family have refused to accept the tract, but after reading this report, I've reconsidered the matter, and I'm going to put my hand up and say yes, please. Because otherwise we're going to lose the swift parrots, and they're also affecting the eastern rosellas as well as the native endemic green rosellas, because they're all being kicked out of the nest, basically, and their numbers have already reduced considerably. So I think it really is important for us to look after our endemic native birds.
Thank you. Councillor Atkinson.
Thank you, ma'am. Look, I had a question on page 261. There's an item about the detailed research and modelling for flooding potential at Snug, and I was wondering, well, not only how's that progressing, but are we intending to do public consultation, or public, you know, forums and things to explain what we've been doing there, as we did with Kingston Beach, or what's the sort of going to be the outcome of that modelling?
I think Mr. Reeve has got a response here. Mr. Reeve.
Through you, Mayor. Yeah, so that's just in the early stages at the moment there, quantifying what the actual issues are there, so we're looking at getting a consultant's report part of it. But yes, in answer to your question there, once we've actually formulated exactly what the issue is, it's slightly different to Kingston Beach, obviously, to being a different area and so forth there, but we would be doing some consultation with people there as well at the same time.
Thank you, because I remember there was quite a bit of disgruntlement in the community that we hadn't told them that we were telling them about it or something, so I hope we can manage that a bit better this time.
Thank you, Councillor Atkinson. I'll go back to page 246. I'll put the recommendation moved by Councillor Chadden, seconded by Councillor Percy, that the following information reports be noted. 1, General Manager's Diary. 2, Current and Previous Minute Resolutions. 3, Climate Action 21. And 4, the Environmental Services Quarterly Report. Councillors in favour, please say aye. Those against? That is carried unanimously. I take it we're going to continue and not have a break? Yes, thank you. We'll move to page 263, confirmation of items to be dealt with in closed session. Thank you, Councillor Berry, and thank you, Councillor Percy. That in accordance with Regulation 15, the Local Government Meeting Procedures Regulation 2015, following items to be dealt with in closed session, applications for leave of absence, 25A Osborne Esplanade, Kingston Beach, Kingston Beach Foreshore and Beach Road Footpath Upgrade, and Current and Previous Minute Resolutions. Councillors, those in favour, please say aye. Those against? That is carried unanimously. Closed session. If I can have a mover and a seconder there, Councillor Chadden, Councillor Percy, that in accordance with Regulation 15, the Local Government Meeting Procedures Regulation 2015, the Council move into closed session. I'll put that to the vote. Councillors in favour, please say aye. Those against? That is carried unanimously, and on that basis, in accordance with Kingborough Council Meetings Audio Recording Guidelines Policy, recording of the open session of the meeting will now cease.